In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our readings for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost begin in the book of Romans, chapter 8, reading verses 18 to 25, where the Apostle Paul makes us look at the big picture, that when we get to heaven, we will understand how we had to endure all those things on this earth, and we will see how we were warned over and over to be ready. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption, in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we eager await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. This is the word of God. Our gospel lesson for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost is found in Matthew chapter 13. It is the famous story of the sower and the seed, along with Jesus' explanation. That same day, Jesus left the house and was sitting by the sea. A large crowd gathered around him, so he stepped into a boat and sat down, while all the people stood on the shore. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. Immediately the seed sprang up, because the soil was not deep. But when the sun rose, the seed was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on good ground and produced grain, some 100 times, some 60, and some 30 times than what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." So listen carefully to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed that was sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he is not deeply rooted and does not endure. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed that was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worry of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it produces no fruit. But the seed that was sown on the good ground is the one who continues to hear and understand the word. Indeed, he continues to produce fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times more than was sown. This is the word of our Lord. Our Old Testament lesson and our sermon text for this eighth week after Pentecost is found in Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. "Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and do not return there unless they first water the earth, make it give birth and cause it to sprout, so that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, in the same way my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty. Rather, it will accomplish whatever I please, and it will succeed in the purpose for which I sent it." This is our text. Dear people of God, When I was in the third grade, my teacher taught me the water cycle. How the rain comes down from the clouds, it falls on the mountains and hills, that water is then gathered into streams and rivers, and it is deposited in the sea. And then once in the sea, the sun beats upon that water, and a good deal of it evaporates, and it goes back into the sky to form clouds and cause rain once again. I can still see the handouts of the pictures that my teacher gave me in third grade. Well, the Lord tells us today that He is the one who designed the water cycle, and that He gives us that water from the sky for us to use and to grow our crops and to have food to eat. The rain and the snow is one of those big blessings of the Lord for His whole creation. Believers and unbelievers alike, all the animals and the bugs, all are blessed by the Lord's gift of the water cycle. The Lord even reminds us here that the rain and the snow not only make crops for this year so that you have something to eat now, but it also produces crops so that you have seed to plant next year. As the Lord told Noah, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Remember that when you watch the rain. You ever do that? Watch the rain? I remember as a kid, when one of those big summer thunderstorms would come, we would all sit on the porch with my dad and we would watch the lightning and laugh and be amazed at it all until a big one would come and chase us all inside. We are reminded today that that storm is not just a gift of water and relief for today, but it is all part of God's plan to be a blessing to you and to all His creation tomorrow. Now, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, tells us that the Word of God works in a similar fashion. Like the rain and the snow come from the sky, so the Word of God comes from above. We're not going to skip past that fact so quickly. God's Word is God's Word. It comes from His mouth. It is not man's word for man to do whatever he wants with, cut it up or throw out this part or that part. On the last day, try to make sure that you're not standing too close to someone who has thrown out portions of the Word of God to please himself. For the Lord says over and over in His Bible that we are not to mess with the Word of God. It is His word, and He Himself will fight for it. And the Lord says here that like the rain, the word will return to Him. Now the word does not evaporate out of the lake like the water does, but the word does return to the Lord. In a sense, the word does not evaporate off the pages, but rather the Lord has given us His word for us to speak it, for us to sing it. And when we do, in a sense, it goes back to the Lord. In Old Testament times, whenever someone prayed, they always had a fire going because they pictured their words going up to God as smoke rises into the heavens. But before that word returns to the Lord, it has a job to do. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time on today. What is this job that the Lord has given His word to accomplish? Well, the first job of the Word of God, and its most important job, is to save your soul. That is not a happy mistake. That is not an accident when it happens. The Lord has designed all things so that you could hear the word of God, believe it, and be saved. For you have heard that Jesus Christ, God's own Son from eternity, came into this world just so that He could suffer and die for you, to pay for all of your sins, And then on the third day, he really and truly rose from the dead in his own body. And in so doing, he has accomplished your salvation. The holy and almighty God of heaven and earth has declared you righteous because of Jesus' blood, because of Jesus' resurrection. If you believe that, the Word of God has done its most important and most difficult task, making believers out of us stubborn and sinful people. Glory be to God on high, for the Word of God has done its job. Another job of the Word of God, and what is sometimes called its strange use, is to announce God's judgment upon the unbelievers. The commandments of God are not unclear. You shall have no other gods. If someone does have another god, if someone does love and trust in something more than the Lord of Scripture, well, then that word has condemned that person. In Exodus chapter 20, when the Lord was giving the commandments to his people Israel, he stopped right in the middle to say this: "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. For those who have no time for the Lord, for those who do not want to hear and to cherish his word, the Lord himself will punish them as his word declares." So also Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh himself, talks about this judgment of the Lord on those who despise the Word of God. He told a story about a man who would end up in jail for the rest of his days in Matthew chapter 18, and he ended by saying this: "This is what my heavenly Father will also do to you unless each one of you forgives his brother from his heart." When discussing people who have no time for Jesus or his word or his salvation, Jesus said this in Matthew 21: "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces its fruit." When speaking of false messiahs and people who offer false hope in this world rather than hope in the world to come, Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Many will fall away from the faith. They will betray each other and hate each other. Because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then he wrapped up that section by saying, "The master will return on a day when he does not expect it, and will cut him in two and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Look at our gospel lesson. Most of the seeds scattered by that farmer did not take root. Most of the word is rejected in this world. Look at our epistle lesson. Even the creation itself is warning us that the day is near. When that day comes, I'm sure that there will be someone who will try to pull the old, "Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that we were supposed to be living and active Christians. I didn't know that the word was so important." And the Lord Jesus will turn to them and say, "Well, don't you have eyes? That was your only job to figure that out. What do you think I meant when I said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear'?" The word of God has come, and his name is Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and unbelief. Trust in him and be saved. He has left his word behind in this world in abundance for you to hear and to read and to love and to use. If you believe that Jesus is your only Savior from sin, then the Word of God has done its job, and praise be to God on high. If you do not believe that Jesus is your Savior, if you have no time for the Lord Jesus, then the Word stands against you, that you had a chance, but you chose destruction rather than to be with him in his paradise. Either way, the word wins, for the word has done its job. See, it's to our benefit to humble ourselves to the word of God. Believe it. Believe its truth. Cling to the word and be saved in the name of Jesus, who is promised therein. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.